Good morning, everyone. Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJR Radio. I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning. We appreciate your ears today as we get into, well, it's the holiday season. Today we're welcoming city staff into the studios of KAJO. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news, but if you want to jot that phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or comment to our guest today. Our guest today, flying solo today, City Manager Aaron Kubik. Aaron, welcome to the microphones of KJO. Hey.
Good morning.
Couldn't find anybody else to come in this holiday season, huh?
We're really busy right now.
Sure, I've heard that before. Actually, congratulations. Just coming off a pretty successful celebration for Christmas.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. The Christmas tree lighting ceremony. Yes. That was incredible. You know, I don't know if some of your listeners have had the opportunity to take a look at some of the photos from that event. One of the ones that was really impressive is I saw one that was an aerial from a drone, and it was just incredible. The tree and the thousands, and I'm not over exaggerating, the thousands of people that were there. I think this was the largest event that we've had, and the spirit was just shared amongst everyone. The Christmas spirit was there. It was awesome.
All right. And anyone that you want to care to single out, say thank you for your efforts here to putting that together?
Well, I'm concerned about starting to call out
so
names.
Many.
Mr. Voigt was absolutely incredible, just like every year. He is the key decorator of that tree. But all of our individuals that we worked with, from the group that got the tree for us to many of my colleagues that volunteered and helped with that, to the planning committee that helped with that, to all the community members that helped make this happen, to Santa being able to free up his schedule to come to Grants Pass.
He's a busy fellow right now.
It was incredible that, again, he was able to make it to Grants Pass and riding in on the fire truck and then hanging out at our welcome center downtown to meet with the kids. It was really nice of him to be able to attend again.
Did I understand you say that you think this is the biggest yet for the Christmas tree?
Yeah, I've been talking with a lot of people and just looking at the pictures too. You know, last year was great. It was pretty big. Last year, I remember I was very cold and I was bundled up. The weather was absolutely just about perfect. I know one year it snowed on us, which was sort of cool. But the rain held off. And everyone seemed to have a great time. We had some additional vendors there this year, and there just seemed to be quite a large group of people. It was great.
All right. Any reason for the growth this year? Was it just the extra effort, or is it continued growth every year?
You know, we've seen in most of our events, at least the ones that the city is in charge of, which is 4th of July and Art Along the Rogue, and then the Christmas event, we're seeing numbers growing over the past couple of years, which is a great sign. I think people are getting back to the roots of what makes great community, and these events are part of that. And it's just wonderful to see the community coming together, celebrating the holiday season. The amount of kids that were there, and even adults that were acting like kids out there too, was a lot of fun.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah, right.
Relive that excitement.
Yep. Saw some great Christmas sweaters and some outfits, and it was a lot of fun.
All right. Is there room for growth? Are there plans ahead? In retrospect, have you had a chance to sit down and say, what did we do right? What did we do wrong?
We're always looking at that. We always debrief after each event. We get comments from the public. We get comments from council. We get comments from staff to try to figure out how we can make it better. And is there room for growth? Yeah, I bet there is. And one of the things that's going to help with that is our plaza. So we're moving forward with developing our plaza finally. We've been talking about this for almost a decade, it seems like. And it's finally coming true where the Owl parking lot and that 5th Street area between G and H is all going to be developed to be more of a group, an opportunity for community events, to be a little more pedestrian friendly for those events, and to give it a different look and feel. It'll add some additional mood lighting and some other things like that. So we're going to have a cool little plaza, and we're going to start construction of that in January. And hopefully it'll be up and running with that new look by, you know, sometime the end of spring, early summer.
All right. We'll watch that one coming.
Oh, it's and so with that, we're looking at, you know, we've got to find a place for the Christmas tree. And that's one of the things we're discussing right now is the plans for the plaza. Have the tree back a little further off of G Street, down Fifth Street, just to provide more space and those kind of things. So we're going to, I think with the development of the plaza and then the, any event down there, including Art Along the Rogue and our Christmas lighting ceremony, is just going to provide an opportunity for more people to enjoy it.
All right. Well, we'll look forward. We'll watch that as it takes place.
Yeah.
Well, but we're not done with Christmas yet, and the Christmas parade's coming up right now. But that's not really a city event, but you're involved in it. And I know there have been a situation where they're looking for cars to help block off things. How do we stand right there? Do you have those numbers yet?
Yeah. So you're right. There's a number of events that happen throughout the year that the city does not have direct as a sponsorship. Mm-hmm. We may sponsor, but we don't actually do them. Boatnik is one. The Christmas Parade is another. And so we try to coordinate with those event coordinators. And there's permitting processes that they need to go through and also safety concerns that we look at. So this year, we've always been trying to increase safety as much as possible and doing it step by step. So we're trying to look at some barriers to provide additional safety for those people that come and are in the parades and are those individuals that come to watch the parades. So the good news is, yes, the parade is happening, and we have had great volunteerism from Council Riker stepping up to try to help coordinate getting some additional vehicles to block some of all the side streets, to the school district, even providing a few buses to help, to the city and our barricades that we have, to the number of volunteers that are going to be there with their own personal vehicles, etc. We have increased the safety of this wonderful event for the community, and the community came together to make it happen.
The logistics and number of people it takes to just get that done must be incredible. Do you have any numbers?
Oh, it is incredible. It's hard to say numbers. I mean, just for the event itself, we're going to have at least 40 volunteers with vehicles and that kind of thing helping with that. But we have one of the things that's important that I want to make sure I do a shout out for every community event we do are either it's our public works crews, it's our public safety crews have additional burden and responsibility that they take on also to keep our community safe and clean, et cetera. So there's a lot of overtime associated with these events that the city does as basically just a sponsorship type of activity, because we don't look at receiving revenue from that additional cost.
It's not a wet revenue stream, huh?
No, it's not. So there are so many volunteers. I can't even count the number of volunteers for that. I know from a standpoint of the Christmas tree, we've got dozens of people that help out to make that thing happen. Yeah. And that's what makes this community so great is the volunteerism of whatever project we're doing, whether it be Rotary or any of the other philanthropist groups. The group of volunteers that we have to help make things happen in the community is just astounding.
All right. Well, as far as I know, there aren't any – once we get past the Christmas parade, there are no other city-sponsored, city-wide events. Am I right there? Am I – or is there something I've missed?
No, you're right. For the end of the year, that this was our big one from a city-sponsored event. The city is helping sponsor the Christmas parade, and then we're going to close that out. Of course, with the next actual city-sponsored event, we'd be looking at 4th of July again. And we have a new Main Street organization that has been formed, and your listeners may know about the Main Street program, which is a great addition to our community. And
it's Main Street Grants Pass.
Yeah, Main Street Grants Pass. And they're interested also in providing additional services and promotion of the downtown area. And we're looking to see what kind of partnerships might be able to come to fruition with that also.
All right, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a brief pause, and we'll be right back with City Manager Aaron Kubik, and, well, maybe we'll get down to business here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress here. City Manager Aaron Kubik is in studio right now. Let me see. We have Hitchhiker coming through. You're looking for anything in particular, dear? No, she won't say a word.
He's not calling me dear.
No.
No.
Our receptionist came through looking for something and she turned the mics on and she ran.
No, I know we were talking about Christmas, and the other thing I want to mention about the Christmas event that's happening, of course, there's going to be another opportunity for people to be downtown for the Christmas parade, which is another wonderful activity. But not even on the weekends, every day that tree is lit up. It's a great environment to come down maybe when it's less busy on the weekday and take your kids there and walk around. And it's a wonderful opportunity to maybe visit some stores and grab a bite to eat and help share that Christmas spirit.
All right, by all means. Talking about Christmas spirit, right now I know that in order to, a lot of people have different plans for Christmas. And so what is the city's plans right now from a business aspect? I know we've got a workshop scheduled and another city council meeting. Bring us up to speed on what to expect from the city and what kind of services the people can expect through the end of the year.
Well, as I mentioned, we've got a couple of great things that are happening that we're starting. So after the first of the new year, you're going to see some changes and some construction happening down there at 5th and G. So you'll need to be aware of that. We're going to try to keep the streets open as much as possible through that construction process. But that's going to be a major game changer for the intersections both at 5th and G and 5th and H. So that whole, and then the Owl parking lot. So there's going to be a lot of work there that's going to be happening. We have a lot of other good things that are happening that's going to be coming up. First of the year, we have an opportunities plan that ultimately council's approving. They're approving the development for an opportunities plan for what we call our North Star project. And that's going in front of council as serving as the urban renewal agency on the December 17th meeting. To give just some background on that, we have an urban renewal agency, which is a tax increment financing agency, which provides an opportunity for the city to take some property tax revenues and focus them on economic development in blighted areas within the community. This is an excellent example of an urban renewal project because we have some blighted property on north of town where the old hospital is. It's been vacant and empty for quite a while. There are some old doctor's offices there and et cetera that are surrounding that little area.
The offices are old. The doctors are fine.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. The good clarification. So we own over 8 acres there, and we're going to be doing an urban renewal project there. Before we do, we're trying to do it right. The city council really wants to hear from the public on what kind of opportunities we have. Also, the city council wants to get some additional data on, from an economic perspective, what might be best for the city. So they're adopting a request for proposal and a consultant to come in to provide their expertise to do an economic study on the city and do an opportunities plan, which is going to involve public participation. That's a big part of the opportunities plan. They're going to do a lot of outreach to the public to determine what they may want to have in that location. Because it's both commercial and residential zoning, there's a lot of opportunities that can happen there. We can have a mixed-use residential commercial. We can have residential. We can have commercial. There's going to be a lot of neat things that can happen there. So at the end of this planning process that we're going to be starting at the beginning of the new year, at the end of this, we're going to have a plan, and we're going to have community input. And we're going to have something in front of council to where council can make an informed decision on what we would actually like to do with that 8+ acres from a standpoint of economic development and how that might ultimately help benefit the community. And then we'll move forward with trying to get a developer in to make that happen. So that is just an excellent example of which will be a very successful urban renewal agency project. And that's coming up towards the beginning of next year.
Now, the property you're talking about, is it Midland and Washington?
Yes.
And that has been vacant for a long, long time.
It has.
And we don't have vision, but what we're trying to do is create that vision for what goes there?
We are. That's exactly what we're doing. There's so much that can happen there. We are creating the vision. We're creating the visions with the community's input.
All right. How do you give, how do you take that input, and, or has that been decided yet? Do we have meetings set up to specifically for that?
We don't have the meeting set up yet. We're going to definitely do an information campaign. So people, an outreach campaign. So individuals that are interested in participating and providing feedback will be able to do so. That'll be at the, with the help of the consultant coming in. I'm sure that we will likely have a number of community forums. In-person forums, opportunities for people to provide input online also. And so there'll be multiple opportunities and different ways that people can provide that input.
How is the outreach planned right now, or is that still in the planning stages? Obviously, we'll talk about it on the radio a lot. But how are you going to reach those people, one, who are interested in the area and who might be interested in the land itself?
Yeah, there's going to be, I think, some personal outreach and then a lot of just trying to get the information out there. And I said, again, public forums, we're going to be meeting with people and providing an opportunity for people to come in and share and build off of each other. It's wonderful to have an opportunity for people to submit online ideas of what they'd like to have there. But one of the things that I think is great is when we can hold actual public forums to where we have a lot of people coming together, because you'll have conflicting ideas of what can happen with that site. And the wonderful thing about conflicting ideas is if you can talk through them, you usually come up with a wonderful plan versus just submitting something by yourself. So I'm hoping that we'll have a lot of success with those open public forums.
Do you see a combination of both residential residential and commercial development on that piece of property? And I'm talking about apartments or...
Council originally, when we purchased the property, I think was interested in, there's a loose term called workforce housing versus low income housing. Low income housing is designated, the property is deeded for a number of years to provide for an opportunity for people to come in that meet those criteria. Workforce housing is more open market housing that's focused on a mid-range affordability. So it's not going to be super high end, but council's interested in some kind of mid-range workforce housing to be able to provide an opportunity for our general workforce to be able to have home ownership in some sort. And then usually commercial activity usually is a partner with that because of the density level of the residential that occurs. It's a quality of life issue. It's, hey, we can just go down, just walk down the street, or we could go right there and pick up something. We do have a grocery type of desert out in the north part of town. If we used to have a grocery store in north part of town, and now there no longer is. From a livability standpoint, that's something that may be looked at. Not that I'm saying that a grocery store would be there, but that's all just part of the planning process and what the community might want and may need in the future.
All right. Well, that's something that we'll keep an eye on and certainly keep us informed on that. Another topic here is the new homeless encampment at Parker Place going
yes.
in. And I just wanted to, because I know we've hit just a couple of small little hiccups along the way, and I think that's been attended to by the council right now. Is everything on schedule right now for that?
It is. We are currently working with Elk Island, who's the contractor that won the grant. They're moving through the planning stages in the process to begin that process. So it's still, according to our understanding, on schedule. Just for your listeners, so they know that the schedule is that we have something up and running that will facilitate at least 150 opportunities for people to rest at that location by June 1st. And the important part about that is a couple things I want to point out. One, that site is a site that would be managed. It's going to be much different look and feel to the sites that the public is used to right now, which is a few unmanaged sites that we have on 6th and A and on 7th Street by the police station. So with managed sites operating June 1st, the city will be able to look at a reduction in our unmanaged sites, and ultimately, a like for like, well, we'd be looking at trying to shut down, and that's one of the ultimate goals, is shutting down our unmanaged sites, and it would still all meet with what's been considered objectively reasonable and our requirements to meet House Bill 3115 requirements.
Objectively reasonable. Okay, that seems to be the key.
Oh, boy, it is. And throughout the whole state of Oregon, communities are really struggling with what is objectively reasonable. There's so much ambiguity in House Bill 3115 and the way it was adopted that objectively reasonable is not defined. And if it's not defined by the state and you can't technically define it, or it's difficult for you to define it locally by your ordinances, the way House Bill 3115 is set up is if the state hasn't defined it, the circuit court defines it. In our case, we had a lawsuit come against us. We went through that lawsuit process, and we ultimately, as a positive through that whole thing, received what is objectively reasonable for our community, which is we need to have an inventory of 150 resting sites that are ADA compatible.
All right. It looks like that the I'm not sure that our plan right now is the answer to all, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. And once it's up and running, do we actually close those other sites completely? I know that's the objective, but suddenly I heard a little bit of unsureness about getting those sites closed once we get that new camp opened.
Well, I think what we want to do is we want to make sure that our actions are purposeful and strategic, and that we do things appropriately at the appropriate time. So I think that ultimately we would be able to close those down, and maybe for a short time we maintain the 7th Street site until we make sure everything's operational and everything's running smooth. So I definitely see the first thing to be closed as soon as the inventory is there is the sites at 5th and A. Now, ultimately, that is – at 6th and A Street. Ultimately, that's a council policy decision. Mm-hmm. But that's the way I would see it going. And even if there would even potentially be a possibility, let's say in May or April, not saying that that's part of the plan, but – if they had 75 sites ready to go or 50 sites ready to go, we could reduce our inventory by that amount as long as there's that inventory at the new resting site location.
So as soon as some spaces became available to start, I was going to say herding, but that's not the right. We'll make those spaces available. All right. We're short on time, but I want to follow up on what exactly managed means, and we'll do that after the top of the hour news.
Certainly.
You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO 99.7 FM, 1270 on the AM side, and we'll be right back after this message and local news.
You've changed thousands.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show. Phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, that's City Manager Aaron Kubik. It's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through the phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or comment to Mr. Kubik. Now, just before the news break, we were talking about the homeless encampment coming up at Parker Place there. And I think the key word that I'm interested in is it's a managed site. What exactly does managed mean? Does that mean that there's going to be at least one person there 24 hours a day? Is it going to be more? How does that management really work or constructed? Do we have a feel for that yet?
Yeah, we do. Managed sites versus unmanaged sites, there's enough information out there. But and with regards to our grant and where we're moving forward to be able to answer that question, I mean, our site right now is considered unmanaged. We have resting site areas available that are designated for the unhoused. They can come and go as they please. We have a restroom facility for them, and we have waste facilities for them. And that's about it. They're ADA accessible, and we provide the space for them. There is no monitoring of their activities necessarily, although we do monitor their activities from a standpoint of we have cameras. They're in a location where they're very close to the police department, so there is some monitoring, but there's no on-site stable monitoring. Now, in a managed site, it's a much different scenario. The individuals that want to go to a managed site, they go to a managed site, and normally there's one of the important pieces with that is there's case management associated with the managed site. So individuals that are resting there are met with professionals in the field with drug addiction, mental health issues, and other things to try to get those individuals into services. And I don't want to take away anything from our nuisance intervention team and our community response team, our CSOs, our police officers. We do the same thing when we meet with these individuals and try to get them into services. But with a managed site, they have people on site that are meeting them and trying to get them the assistance that they need. So it's a higher level of service. They also have on managed sites it's pretty common that they have a no drug use. So there's no drugs allowed at that site. That's not to say that someone can't be using and come in under an influence of something, but it is not acceptable to be using and bringing that into the site. So that's another level. There's also usually with managed sites an expectation that is usually enforced of when people can come and go. They usually try to, in the sites that I've looked at, shut things down at 10 o'clock at night and usually have things where they're encouraging people, if they need to get out to go to a job or do job search or get groceries or do whatever they're doing, they do so from a 7 a.m. to a 10 at night type of activity thing. They do make exceptions for individuals that do have jobs at night and those kind of things that I've seen, but primarily individuals that are at those managed sites are expected to be there after a designated time, and they're there to rest. So then there's also additional services and facilities associated with a managed site that are that full continuum of care for those individuals to help give them a helping hand up. And so there is a much different look and feel to the site itself. There's a much different look and feel to the surrounding area where that site is also located. I hope that sort of explains or paints a little bit of a picture on the difference. But that may have, if you have a question on with regards to that. And I'm not the professional, but that's my experience in the field and me researching the different.
All right. With a managed site, though, is someone going to be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Yes, there would be someone on site to maintain consistency.
And your cameras are being installed. That was always part of the plan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And part of those services are actually combining with Mint there to provide some of those services. Is that accurate?
Yes. Mint is going to be a key piece to the services that are provided. They've been doing this for years. They've been great in our community, and they're stepping up in working in partnership with Elk Island, who's bringing in and doing the Connex boxes and getting those resting facilities ready from a construction perspective. Mint is going to be a leader in providing the case management and those services, drug addiction, mental health services to those individuals.
All right. The city's grant was $1.2 million, and that's just to get the camp up and running. Is that correct? What about financing following once it's up and running? City has no other obligation there?
Yeah, one of the great things from a perspective of the city and the city's budget is that we were very specific, and when I say we, council wanted to make sure that we provided an opportunity to get something up and running. And the $1.2 million is for capital hard costs only. It's not for operations. The operations were addressed through the RFP process, the request for proposal process, where we needed to have some kind of assurances that there was going to be a maintenance of those services once it was up and running. And they provided those, all the service providers tried to address that. So Mint is going to be the one providing that, those services, like you mentioned. And the city is not providing any operational dollars for that program. We were there for hard capital startup costs.
Just to get it up and running, and nothing is planned after that.
Yeah.
At least that's the situation.
And that's usually that's a big hurdle for a lot of the service providers, whether in any community, is finding a site and finding the capital to get the infrastructure on site. That's a big one. There's a lot of state and federal grants that are associated with providing those social services. And I think Mint is going to be taking the lead on looking at how they can acquire some of those.
All right. Let's look into our crystal ball right now. This facility is supposed to be up to a 150 people. And I understand it's a little more than that. And if it's full and running and we have closed, certainly the 6th Street camps, maybe the 7th Street camp, what's that do to our police department? Are we reducing overtime? Can we point them in different directions? Is that a plus for us?
I think in the end, from a community perspective, is a plus on multiple levels, especially when it comes to our police force, our fire department, and others that are responding to these sites. I think what it does is it provides an opportunity for us to refer individuals that we see to a designated managed resting site location, which will be a more positive environment for that individual versus the sites that we have in place now. We're going to have one location for them to go to, so the impact and enforcement and stuff is going to be more centralized. And I think the type of individuals also that are looking for that assistance and needing that assistance at a managed site is maybe a little different than those that are looking for an unmanaged place to go and rest. So I think overall the benefit to the community is going to be multiple levels. But yes, I think it will help provide some efficiencies when it comes to our police force.
All right. Well, that's certainly good news. Other things happening this year. This is going to be a big year for the water treatment plant. Is that right?
It sure is. Man, I don't know of your listeners out there, how many people have been driving on Parkway and you turn and you look over at our new water treatment plant site. There's a lot of groundwork happening.
Landscape is changing.
It sure is. Yeah. It's really exciting to watch. And the neat thing is we have a camera set up there. We're doing the still shots. There's going to be a cool video that we're going to have when we're done, from the beginning and the first groundbreaking to the ribbon cutting of the opening. So it'll be sort of neat, that time lapse photos that we're going to be able to see. The water treatment plant is well underway. The Jason Kennedy water treatment plant.
Jason.
Yeah.
Well named, incidentally.
Oh, very much deserved. Very much deserved. And we are actually taking our last really big financial step at Wednesday night's council meeting.
Uh-oh.
The December 17th meeting. Yes.
Okay.
I know. We've talked about it. I think some of the public knows about it.
Yeah, everybody should be aware that it's coming.
Yeah, we still need a small rate increase.
Okay.
We're looking at a 1% increase over a three-year period, stair-stepping that in, to finalize the increase in our water rates to make up for the loss of the $50 million brick grant that we had in order to pay for the water treatment plant. Now, it's important that we do that. We've got two really important items on Wednesday night's meeting, and that's not this one. It's December 17th. One, we're looking at changing the fee schedule that provides for the rate increase. And then as soon as we're done with that, we're looking at council to authorize the issuance of water revenue bonds, which will help us pay for the water treatment plant. Without the increase in the water fee, we wouldn't be able to get the revenue bonds. So there,
you have to do one to get the other.
You have to do one to get the other, and you have to do one before the other at the meeting. So, yes, that's our big last piece that we're missing. And then we're in pretty good shape.
Okay, so you can just brush your hands and say, okay, done deal.
Well, there's still a lot of work that we're doing in the meantime to get that up and running. So, and again, if the public has any questions about that, feel free to reach out to us and we'll be able to answer those questions, or go to our website and take a look at the information that we have and the camera shots that we have.
Now, the building, this is going to be a several-year situation. I'm 4 or 5 years to get this complete?
I think, if I remember correctly, we're looking at, I think, 28 is when we will maybe be shutting down one and turning on the other.
Ah, okay. So about 3 years.
Yeah.
Easily, barring any any delays. All right, well, we'll cross our fingers there. That brings up just one more question, is that that beautiful old water plant that we have right now that looks really good from the street as you drive by. But inside, what's the story there? Any plan for that?
Man, I think that's going to be something that we're really going to have to reach out to the community on. Council's going to it's ultimately a council decision on what we're going to do with that. We do have to protect some of that space. That's where our water intake is. So that property itself, with regards to the infrastructure that's underground that you don't see, and the due to the our intake and where we're pulling the water from the river and sending it to the water treatment plant, there is that will provide some encumbrances or limitations on what we can actually do to repurpose that structure and that property. So it's going to be a good discussion. I'm very curious on where we might end up with that.
All right. Any indications from, I don't know, architectural, an architectural perspective or historical building sites that have been talked about yet?
No, I think it's way too early. We're too early in the stage for any of those discussions. I just know architecturally wise, it's such a wonderful looking building. Now inside, it is truly a water treatment plant. Unless you want to have a few, you know, bathing areas in the different settling ponds that we have, you really can't do much of anything else with it. So it's going to be interesting to see if and how we may be able to repurpose that at all.
All right. Well, something to keep your eyes on. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll continue right after this. I have to just jump in here selfishly and promote something that, incidentally, when we're talking about local athletes, the Caveman basketball team has its first game tonight in Crater, so it's an away game, but it's close enough. Everybody could go, and if you can't go, you can listen to it right here on KAJO Radio. All right.
Those are always exciting things, the high school sports. It's a great way to celebrate your community also is go there. And
this is a high school sports town.
Yeah.
It really is.
It really is. Yeah. A lot of fun.
I've had the opportunity to do lots of things at different levels, collegiately and from an amateur standpoint. Done some championship games. But I've never had any feedback like I have right here in Grants Pass, Oregon.
Yeah, we're very supportive of our high school sports and extra activities, from band to other things, too. It's great. We even have, if you notice on all of our public safety vehicles and stuff, we have We Are GP stickers.
I noticed that.
Yeah. So it's just another way for us to celebrate and support our local schools and athletes and students.
All right, tip off at 7 o'clock tonight. All right, so much for the shameless promotion, folks.
Yeah, no, definitely.
We've been talking about a lot of things here for the city, and one of the things here, and what brought it up is we see a lot of revolving door at the local jail, and there was one way to maybe fix that or deal with that on a different level, and that's with a municipal court. Where's the city stand with a municipal court right now? Is there a way to move forward on something like that?
Yeah, we've been trying to do some research on that for quite some time. Workload has been heavy, and our
so you've been busy.
Yeah, right. And our legal counsel's department's been very busy. He's sort of taking the lead role in the municipal court arena. But municipal court is something that council was wanting to take a look at. To try to deal with maybe some lower level crimes and how we may be able to bolster our services to the community and influence in a positive way our criminal justice system. And so there's the reason we currently, as a city our size, we do not have a municipal court, which is interesting because our charter has in it the opportunity for a judge in a municipal court, but we do not do that. So we go through the DA's office for everything, and that's done. And it's fine and it works. But a municipal court provides an opportunity for multiple layers of enhancement to our law and our criminal justice system. If we had a municipal court, and a lot of cities that do have municipal courts, they realize a little more local control and responsiveness within that system. It allows us to maybe have faster resolution on cases, and decisions are tailored more to local priorities because we have a local judge that's focused on that. So that's extremely important. And we can maybe address more community-specific issues such as nuisance violations, minor criminal matters, livability complaints. You have just more control within municipal court for that. And so it is an opportunity to help deter lower level crimes when you have that focus, and municipal courts have that, provide that opportunity. And ultimately, it may increase some efficiencies and effectiveness in that system because we can have that set up itself. One of the key things that we're looking at is this a revenue slash cost neutral program? Because if we were to have a municipal court, we would need to have a judge. We would likely need to have a, and whether this is contracted or usually the judge is contracted, and then we would need to have additional attorney services. A court clerk would be required also. So there's costs associated with.
You just don't wave a magic wand and it happens.
Yeah. And, you know, there's the positive side with municipal court. You do receive the fines associated with those traffic violations and ordinance violations. But many times that doesn't pay the cost of the service. So that's one of the things we're looking at. Some communities have helped fund their municipal court through, say, speed cameras, red light cameras, and those kind of things. And the revenue would be dedicated to the municipal court to help with that. So it's a great opportunity for us. We're exploring that. And we're going to be able to provide council with an update at the January 5th workshop. And ultimately, it would take months to stand up a municipal court. So the sooner we get feedback from council, when we provide this, if council's a go, then it would take months for us to set something like this up. But once it's up and running, if we can make it revenue cost neutral, if that's what council's goal is, I think there would be some benefit to us having a municipal court.
All right. It would certainly speed the judicial process for certain, lower level crimes, certainly.
Yeah.
It's not going to add any more jail space.
No, that's a different thing. You did start the conversation off with revolving door jail thing. That's more of a state level issue.
Correct.
With some of the laws that are in place. I think it's a House Bill 48 is one of those items that the public can take a look at. But it's jail space is part of that criminal justice system aspect of it. And the municipal court would allow us to be able to focus on some of those low level crimes and et cetera, and have more of a local focus on that. But additional jail beds and the way the jail is run, that's a little bit of a different story.
All right. Aaron, been a great show so far. We've got about 5 minutes left here. And I know this end of the year situation means that there are lots of things in play, but may be delayed. What do people need to take away from today's show, and what do we need to know about the city of Grants Pass between now and the first of the year?
Well, I think what they need to know is we've had a very active year. I think from an external perspective, whether it be at the national state level to the local level, the county and city level, it has been a very active year. Even though we've been extremely active, we have been able to accomplish a lot of wonderful things. Just look at our events that we talked about when we started talking about that. I think that the future looks extremely bright for our city with some of the things we're working on. The construction of a new water treatment plant, the construction of a downtown plaza where people could come and meet together as a community in a welcoming environment, to looking at things like our urban renewal project north of town, which will ultimately increase potential housing, commercial, taxes, and livability, and improve livability in that section of town is a positive too. Looking at ways that we can more effectively and efficiently provide services like the municipal court, making sure that we're doing things appropriately fiscally also. That's something that council has focused on, and making sure that we're increasing rates only when necessary and to do so for the right reasons. All of those things are showing that we have some wonderful pieces put together to continue to make this community much better and continue its great quality of life that everyone is used to.
All right. So the future looks bright ahead.
It really, there's so much good that I see out there that's going to be happening in the future.
Okay, and I know you love to get feedback to hear what the people are thinking.
Yep.
The best way to contact you is?
Best way to contact me is you can call me at 541-450-6000. That's the line for my office. Or you can reach out to me at acubic@grantspassoregon.gov. That email is on our website. Our website is a great opportunity for you to get a lot of good information and might be able to answer your questions just from the information on the website. If not, please reach out to me. Reach out to City Council if you have any questions about policy issues. We always read all the emails and try to respond to those that are asking for a response. So, as you know, I've said before many times, we are at our best when we hear from you, and we mean that. We really do want to hear your thoughts and how you think this community can be better.
I've dialed that number several times and always had a nice experience, but young ladies that answer it and defer those calls right back to the person needed, whether it be you or someone else.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right. And all of you, stay tuned. More to come right here on KAJO Radio. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show.
At Heart Jewelers.